listening to Voice of Business on the Radio Worcester Network. It is sponsored by Worcester Airport and Fidelity Bank. And with us now is the CEO, Chairman and CEO of Fidelity Bank, Ed Manzi. Ed, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, Hank, how are you today?
Good, thank you. And Ed is going to be speaking with Dean Mazzarella, who is the mayor of the city of Leominster. And, of course, Leominster, just a huge part of the region's economy and workforce. Ed, of course, has been with us over these last weeks talking about the business response and efforts surrounding COVID-19. Let me turn it over to you now, Ed, so that you can talk with the mayor of Leominster, who is on the line waiting patiently. And thank you both again, gentlemen, for being with us today.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you doing today?
I can't believe Hank used my name and patience in the same, like, three words. I can't believe it. You are the first. I'll take it.
Well, this is kind of fun because I get to interview you because I've been on your show, and it's, you know, payback is kind of interesting. So here we go.
Sure.
So, hey, listen, you guys have been doing a great job, your administration in the Leominster community, to navigate this COVID crisis. And I think you're the longest sitting mayor in the history of the world, so you got a lot of experience. And I think that maybe give us some perspective on how this has been in terms of the challenge, you know, personally and professionally for you, given those years of experience. And
well, like everything else, I mean, I think, you know, the mantra is we have transferable skills and lifelong learning, and so you want to make sure that you take those skills that you learn from other areas and transfer them over to other things. And we're certainly not new to, you know, natural disasters and things that come up that, you know, we couldn't have predicted. And this certainly was different. And remember, we're still a big manufacturing community. Healthcare is huge still here, and you know, big in retail. And so, the day that we started to, you know, see that they were going to, you know, started to get that impression that, you know, they're going to start closing things, it's when we really started to put together our reopening plan. And sort of looking down the road saying, okay, I mean, this is, you know, this is how people feel. They're not coming out. I mean, the streets were basically empty. Everything was like 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. And so, you know, we know that we had a number of manufacturers here that had to stay open because they were making product for either the military or for, you know, for COVID-19 in some fashion or way. And then we had a number of healthcare facilities here that needed to operate, you know, 24/7. So it was a matter of putting all that into place, and which meant keeping City Hall open, closed to the public, but really open, you know, 7 days a week and 24 hours for whatever it was that anybody needed. And that approach worked well. And obviously it takes the toll on employees that, you know, that other places are closing and other people are working from home. But the staff was great, and we didn't fall behind, not one step. And again, we kept all the, you know, manufacturers open, all the healthcare all the healthcare facilities, and I don't think anybody missed a beat.
Well, that's, you know, really a testament to your leadership, and I think it's a great way to frame it. It's a different kind of crisis, but it does tap into other experiences you've had over the years. And, you know, the evolution of this following the governor's lead, today's third day into phase two, part two of the state's reopening plan. And I'm just curious what your perspective is on Leominster's business, you know, now that it's starting to reopen. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
It's gone. The restaurants have all absolutely complied. Everybody that's reopened their business has absolutely gone above and beyond to accommodate their customers. They realize how important it is, and the customer is going to, you know, sort of, you know, as they inch their way out the door and sort of drive by, look in and feel it out, and then listen to, you know, other people's testimony or, you know, their experience. But everything's going well. I mean, I think we're down to a few taverns that aren't open that are anxious to get open that I know will comply if they just get the chance to open. And we certainly have good oversight. But other than that, you know, the movie theaters still aren't open. But, I mean, for the most part, everything is open, and it's really gone well. And people realize, you know, and the social distancing part has gone well. I mean, our numbers are down significantly, and they drop more and more every day. But, you know, it's a constant reminder. You know, remember the Tylenol, and people tampered with Tylenol and aspirin. And remember, that industry didn't go away. That industry, you know, came up with, you know, different products and tamper-resistant and tamper-proof, you know, bottles. Yeah. And that's what we're going through right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. On a positive note, it was interesting you know, you and I have talked about this a lot over the years. You have a, obviously you focus on the city that you're the mayor of, but you also have a regional and, you know, statewide perspective and how Leominster fits into the greater Central Mass and Massachusetts economic engine. And there was a Bloomberg story recently that said that Boston and Worcester are likely to recover faster than many U.S. cities due to the strength in that you mentioned healthcare sectors and education. How do you think that Leominster economy itself will contribute to this overall Central Mass region recovery?
One of the things that we've found in the last couple of years, and a lot, you know, some of it was the fact that people had done the whole city living and were, you know, sort of looking to a different kind of lifestyle, and also the housing prices. As you leave Boston, Leominster becomes the most affordable area, both taxes and the cost of property. And so we've seen that migration coming this way. We expect some more of it to come this way as people start to reevaluate. But I think, you know, for Boston, a lot of it is going to depend on the colleges. The medical people come from all over the world to get, you know, medical attention and healthcare. And I think it will come back. I think there's always a desire. Tourism will come back. It'll come back in a different way. I mean, Disney didn't close for good. Disney didn't say, how are we going to manage this? We have parks with hundreds of thousands of people a week. How do we retool ourselves? Well, they didn't sit around saying, well, we'll analyze this and open in 3 years. They went right to it, and, you know, same sort of thing. So I think, you know, we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. I mean, we expect, you know, that we only have a couple of hotels, but, you know, we expect those numbers to be down. We expect that excise tax will be down and some of the other revenue sources. But just hopefully the, you know, the faster the big cities get back to, you know, back to it is really, you know, those are the huge economic engines. But it's also for us, Worcester is, you know, we're the sort of little brother to Worcester, but we've done very well in the terms of manufacturing, in the terms of healthcare and medical facilities and retail. I mean, we've done so well, and housing is under control. It isn't overdevelopment. So we have thousands of acres of open space and trails and hiking places. And so, you know, we sit well, and it's just, you know, the only thing we're waiting for is, you know, what the state numbers are going to be in terms of local assistance.
Right. I mean, over the years, is the various economic downturns that we've managed through. One thing I talked to Hank about this before, that the resilience of the residents and business owners of Central Mass and in general, and Leominster specifically, is always, they've always come out better than they went into the trouble. And so I'm optimistic along with you on that. And I know, you know, the North Central Chamber is forming an economic development task force to help, you know, think a little bit longer term to maximize the assets that you referenced there. And I wonder if you, I think you're involved with that. I know you're involved with that. Do you have any thoughts on that group and their mission?
No, just I looked at the list. In fact, we have a couple of people from, you know, the city on it, and businesses, and also Nikki Peters, our economic development coordinator. So yeah, it's a cross section of talent, and I think they'll do good things. And, you know, I mean, the chamber's done wonderful things, and certainly looking out. I think one thing with the chamber is they chose the right area. And if you remember, there is, you know, the mountain and skiing and open space and, you know, villages and all of that a couple of years ago when they sort of rebranded themselves. That, I think, is what's going to appeal to people. But, you know, let's face it, you know, we still have businesses coming in almost daily who want to still open businesses. So it hasn't scared them away, and it's going to be important for, you know, the chamber to walk us through the process of what tomorrow, next year, and the following year looks like.
Maybe just to pivot a second here to in the few minutes we have left to talk about organizations that aren't business focused but more about community support, like the Helping Hand Fund. And I know you've been, again, a very big proponent of helping all members of the society. You want to talk a little bit about that?
You know, we saw right away what some of the needs were. And so whether it's United Way or Helping Hands or Ginny's Food Pantry or the churches, all of them. And then we actually started another one, which was, you know, we found that students were out there, and especially low-income families, they didn't have an electronic device. So kids are trying to learn remotely. They didn't have internet connection, and they didn't have an electronic device. So we started this fund to be able to purchase and refurbish. We have a business in town, Infinite Design, and Kim and Russ are actually refurbishing people's old computers and electronic devices. Now, school systems around us have lent these out to students. We actually give these to students that otherwise would never have an electronic device, because it is about learning today. And if you don't have, you know, an electronic device and you're not hooked up to, you know, the internet, and, oh, by the way, Comcast Essentials program has extended its program out to the end of the year. And if you qualify, it's free internet for 2 months and then $9.95 a month after that. So we're getting those students connected and then handing them an electronic device that they would never have, and allow them, you know, to the gateway to the world and learning. So all of those programs, whether it's been to provide food or loans or grants to businesses, everything has really gone well here. Very smooth.
That's a great story. I mean, maybe that could be a good segue to the last question about, you talked about young people in schools and learning, and, you know, the governor's protocols and the reopening. There's a lot of people thinking about what to do when schools come back, and, you know, local colleges and K through 12. You want to talk a little bit about how the city of Leominster is approaching that with contingency plans?
Sure. I think on our end, we're approaching it as, how would you feel? You know, I have a grandson with special needs, and so I try to put myself in my daughter and my son-in-law's position, and think, you know, that's not a great, you know, distance learning is not a good environment for the students with special needs. They need more of that one-on-one. But think of the parents and how they're going to feel about their kids getting on a bus, how they're going to feel about being in a, you know, cafeteria, how they're going to feel. But forward that to, you know, September. And so it's probably going to be, you know, education from here on in, just like I said about Tylenol, they're not going to go away. It's just going to be a little bit different. I think education long-term is going to be, you know, combination. I mean, colleges, let's face it. Who thought you'd be able to get an MBA on and get it online? Nobody thought that 10 years ago. And so it'll be a combination of being in the classroom. It'll be a combination of distance learning. It'll be a combination of all the resources that are out there. I say every day I get an update, and I can watch on video live from Mount Washington. I can watch from the Cincinnati Zoo. There's thousands of these sites that just pique your interest. And so learning is lifelong, but it's worldwide, and it's multifaceted in terms of the tools that people will use from here on in to learn. So our you know, September is probably going to look a lot different than it did last September.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate your time and sharing your experiences and your perspective and your view of the future, how we navigate these uncharted waters. So keep up the good work, and, you know, let's stay in touch, and I'll kick it back to Hank.
Well, thank you very much, and you are listening to Voice of Business, and you were just hearing Ed Manzi, Chairman and CEO of Fidelity Bank, in his conversation with the Mayor of the City of Leominster, Dean Mazzarella. Much more to come right here, Voice of Business on the Radio Worcester Network.